Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Welcome in, hour two. How we doing, everybody?
Oh, this is not easy. This is not easy.
I always feel for first time. Everybody has to. You got to take your lumps on the board,
that,
man.
That one's on me.
You got to take your lumps.
Your guys' intro had like 30 seconds left, and then I had to do my whole thing, and then it ran out.
I missed a good one, too. It was the campaign pony open.
It was
getting ready to get all weirded out.
There were fireflies in the butt coming. That didn't happen now. I was very confused because I thought I had heard the open, but then I'm like, wait, did I miss the update?
That was a quick update.
Hey, sometimes you get in and you get out. You give the people what they need, you get the hell out of there.
I always, those moments, people won't realize it if they never have produced a show, but I think everybody has that in their line of work, but anybody who's ever produced a show, the moment of panic that sinks in when you realize you've screwed something up and you're not quite sure how to fix it, just the look on the face of like, go, talk, go.
It's not nice. But I genuinely get a laugh and enjoy watching people when they're panicking and the faces that they make and the stress that they're enduring. Because, look, this is radio. This is really not all that important in life.
No, we can start an hour without an open. It's all right.
You're going to get through this, and you're going to be better at it.
Right.
But, man, while you suck at it, I'm enjoying it.
You know what? Feel free to just pile on me all day today, by the way. I think I've messed up at the top of each hour. I was looking for that Stephen A. audio, and then I was like, oh, my God, I have my update right now.
Well, at least you're consistent.
Since we're on, that's true. So watch out for 2 o'clock. Some fireworks are going to go off. One other note, too, since we're on the subject, Blazer fans are not happy with you today.
Yeah. Yeah, you do need me to stop.
You dropped a Zers in an update, apparently.
I did.
And Blazer fans were
They don't like the Zers reference.
No, you cannot say Zers, man.
That's
really
a no no.
Yeah. Okay. That's like people in San Francisco, if you say San Fran, they hate it. It's like one of those kind of things.
Well, for what it's worth, I am born and raised here. I've been here for 25 years. I've heard people say that, but I guess
it's
not.
It's a controversial thing, my man. And people will let you know that they don't like it.
Yeah, I think I would say, no, maybe there's some Zers supporters out there. But I would say I think the majority of folks are anti. And I don't really know where that comes from, to be honest with you, because me, like you, I have lived here my entire life.
I don't mind it. I don't use it, but I don't care if somebody says the Zers.
I don't know where the negative connotation comes from, but it is there.
Maybe they feel like it's a disrespectful way to talk about the team instead of just going, hey, it's the Trailblazers.
Give me the full name, please.
And you're only giving us, what, 4 letters? Come on. What are we doing here?
Like Blazers is really hard to say. You got to drop it down to Zers.
Zers. Yeah. Okay. Don't worry, dude. You're gonna take lumps. I can't wait to see the screw up at 2 o'clock.
It's going to be golden.
Let's get to the Stephen A. Do we have a Stephen A. Smith cut?
We do.
So okay. Stephen A. Smith was on First Take this morning.
Yes, he was, as he is every morning.
And I didn't see this live, but, man, I logged into the internet, and I saw what had transpired. Stephen A. Smith, I believe his salary is anywhere from $4 to $6 million. We have people listening to us right now that think we are drastically overpaid for what we do.
Sure.
Stephen A. Smith makes $4 to $6 million.
Million.
To know sports and talk about it on national TV. And this is what he said today on First Take with Teddy Bruschi sitting next to him, but in a different location with a camera. And it's just gold. Go ahead.
I'm keeping my eyes on this matchup right here.
Spencer
you got
Ware
your
is
linebacker.
Out.
I'm sorry?
Spencer Ware is out.
Oh, yes, I forgot. I'm sorry,
out
Max.
With
I'm
a foot.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He is out. But I'm thinking Tyreek Hill. I'm thinking Patrick Mahomes. I'm also looking at the San Diego Chargers on offense, and I'm thinking about Hunter Henry and the way that he's played this year and as effective as he's been. He's going up against Derek Johnson, and I got to keep my eyes on that because I'm looking at it from the standpoint. Listen, here's where I'm at with all of this. At the end of the day, I'm looking at Patrick.
Okay, so we didn't really need to go much further than that. So if you're not understanding what happened, like, oh, what's a big deal? I will inform you here. Hunter Henry hasn't played all year.
Well, let's also point out he started with Spencer Ware.
Well, he started by saying, I can't wait to see what the San Diego Chargers do tonight, but I think Spencer Ware.
Yeah.
And then Max Kellerman's like, he's out. He's sick. He's not playing.
Not playing.
And then he references the matchup, the biggest matchup in this game for Stephen A. Smith.
Okay, what do we got? Thursday night, big matchup.
He could have said the pass rush of the Chargers versus Patrick Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
He could have said the DBs of the Chiefs versus those great wide receivers for the L.A. Chargers. He could have just gone very generic, and nobody would have been mad. He went, let me give you the matchup I'm most looking forward to. Hunter Henry and Derek Johnson. Hunter Henry has not played this year, and Derek Johnson is semi-retired. He's not even in the National Football League.
No. Hunter Henry tore his ACL in May.
Teddy Bruschi looked like he had sucked on a lemon and smelled a fart at the same time after he heard him say that's the matchup he's most looking forward to.
Like, wait, did you? So you dropped a San Diego Chargers. You dropped a looking forward to Spencer Ware tonight, who's not playing. And then the key matchup is two guys who haven't played all year. Like, how do you say that on national television? How do you get away with that? Like, we say stupid stuff every day. Pretty much every segment, something stupid comes out of one of our mouths. That's fair, but at least one thing we have not done is throw out players who are not even playing this year to say they're the key for tonight.
Did you see there is a piece? Give me a second here. There's a piece on Stephen A. Somebody got to spend a whole day with him.
Oh, no. Why would you want to spend a day with Stephen A. Smith?
Hold on. Let me get the piece up.
That does not sound enjoyable in the slightest. But if you haven't seen the video, I think the best part of it is the reaction. And I don't know why. Like, for a debate show, the fact that either Kellerman or Bruschi didn't jump in sooner to be like, what are you smoking? Because he just had a video like 2 weeks ago where he was asked his advice on smoking weed or something. And Stephen A. Smith had this long, stay off the weed.
He did have a follow-up tweet today. Did you see where he answered the guy who called him out. He's like, I will stay off the weed if I have to or something like that.
Well, at least he could have some awareness that you looked incredibly dumb.
You named two guys who aren't playing.
Right.
Haven't played all year.
One's
Derek
not even
Johnson
in the NFL.
Might not even play again.
Okay, so if you didn't see this, and I don't expect everybody out there to go want to read these pieces.
I'm not going
to
read this one.
That's fine. I'll give you just what you need to know from it.
Okay, give me the bullet points.
So he had this writer walk with him for an entire day and just wrote a piece of what it's like for this media mogul, Stephen A. Smith, right? The biggest name in sports media. And Stephen A., if you didn't know it, Stephen A. is a big fan of Stephen A. In the piece, he was asked about what he wants to do. Now, his contract with ESPN runs up until 2021, and he's looking to see what his next move's going to be. The first is he wants to get away from mornings. He hates waking up early to do the job that he does.
I can relate there.
The second is that he's going to make a permanent move to L.A. He goes to L.A. a lot. He loves it, and at some point in the next year or two, he's going to make a permanent move there. And then after that, he wants to be producing content beyond being on air, and he also acknowledges that maybe he needs a bigger platform.
People need more Stephen A. Smith in their life.
He said, quote, I can host an afternoon show like Steve Harvey or Ellen.
He's putting him in the Ellen category.
I could do a late night show if somebody writes the opening monologue. I could do a late show just like Colbert and Fallon and those boys. Or I can host a show on CNN or Fox News.
Okay.
So Stephen A. is really fond of Stephen A.'s abilities.
He likes himself some Stephen A.
Stephen
man.
A. is not limited to just sports. Stephen A. can go middays or he can go prime time.
Didn't he have his own show that flamed out? Wasn't there a Stephen A. TV show?
Yeah, there was.
There was, yeah.
It was like
It was like an interview show.
Right.
And the one thing he had that was good was Quite frankly.
Yeah.
He made AI cry.
Okay.
By bringing on Larry Brown, saying, Larry Brown, I loved you, man. You were great. AI just starts tearing up.
And there was your headline.
That was the only thing he ever did on that show.
Now, a good point, too, because I forgot about this. We didn't talk about it earlier in the week. He was on the boxing coverage for ESPN on Saturday, and he fell asleep. Did anybody see that?
Yeah. The boxer next to him.
Is it Ward? I think it was. Was it Ward sitting next to him?
Andre Ward.
Had to elbow him and wake him up because he was like, dude, you're on live TV, man. Wake up. You're falling asleep. I will give you one piece of good news, though, okay?
Okay.
So I saw this story, and I actually thought it was interesting. Now, I don't know what channel First Takes on, but I think they aired on ESPN. And ESPN2. I haven't watched that show in years, and I never will. But a lot of the ESPN stuff is kind of debatey, right? And people aren't too fond of their coverage. Did you know? So ESPN2 came about in 1993 was when the channel debuted. Every year since 1993, ESPN2 has been the second highest rated television channel in TV, right? ESPN's one, ESPN's two. Since it's launched, those are one and number two. For the first time in television history, ESPN2 will not be the number two rated television channel.
What will be?
NBCSN. The NBC Sports Network is going to rise above it.
NBCSN.
NHL. They actually got decent ratings for a couple of NASCAR races. Like, so the whole point of the piece, I was reading an article on this, was they have gone away. They didn't embrace debate, if you will, like some of these ESPN channels have. and they've just kind of hyper-focused on certain sports, hockey, horse racing, NASCAR being a couple of them, and they benefited from having a couple of Stanley Cup final games, their hockey coverage, as I mentioned, NASCAR. So for the first time, a channel is going to knock ESPN2 off of their number two perch. Now, ESPN still leads by a wide, wide margin in terms of the number one channel that's viewed, but I thought that was interesting, a changing of the guards in sports television.
Could he ever do a late night show?
No.
And by the way, if somebody writes the monologue for me, you can't even sit down and help write a monologue?
You're supposed to be a part of that. I don't write the whole thing.
Yeah, you don't have to write the whole thing. You don't want to help. You just read.
No, I would not watch that.
Let me read someone else's work. I can do that. Yeah. Okay, great.
I wouldn't watch that show.
The one thing I will defend Stephen A on, and I know it's, I'm defending Stephen A. I get that. The one thing I will defend him on is, he does make it entertaining. You don't have to agree. You cannot like him. But, man, he does make it entertaining on TV.
Well, we could come out here and throw a couple of names out of nobody that's played, and it would be entertaining for people. But I don't know if that's good entertaining.
Also, when does he sleep? Seriously.
Yeah, that's a good question.
He does on live so TV. Much.
During boxing matches on Saturday nights.
Gets 30 seconds in before the hit.
His power naps before going on TV.
Screaming A. Smith, man. Screaming A.
You do you, buddy. You do you.
All right, I got a solution to fix the country.
Whoa.
Yeah. Not sports, not a team. I'm going to fix the country. And I'll tell you what it is next on The Fan.
The new moon rode high in the crown of the metropolis, shining like who on top of this? People were sussling, arguing, and bustling.
This is Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. On this Thursday afternoon, one more day, and then you're out of here.
I got one more show, and I got a night show again tonight. I'm back pulling double duty today.
I didn't know that was going to be a thing till a minute ago.
There's going to be a gaggle of hosts in here. Is that the right word? Is that the right usage, I think?
Sure.
I think so, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
Six of you.
There's going to be six of us in the studio at the same time. Six dudes, studio.
How does that work?
We'll find out tonight. I don't know.
Question, and Jorgie, we'll start with you. Jerry after him, Joey Mack, you answer third.
Yeah, do we go round table one at a time? This will make up for all the round table shows Anthony and I did that was just me and him. It wasn't even a round table. It was just the Anthony and Dirt
straight
show.
Line.
It was just, hey, point, counterpoint kind of show.
If you're not going to have guests for the round table, why don't you just ditch it and call it the straight line?
Well, his nickname is his nickname is Q. You can call it Q and Dirt, Q Dirt.
Anthony's nickname is Q?
Q. Yeah, people call him Q.
Is he a middle name with a Q or...?
He explained it to me, and I can't remember why it is.
You sound like a good friend that listens to people's stories when they tell you.
Yeah, so tonight, Jerry, Jorgie, Joey Mack, Anthony, myself, and Dusty will all be here.
Dusty will not be giving away a Yeti cooler, though, today.
No, he does. He's not going to drive the golf cart around the building and giving a Yeti away.
Don't try to park in our parking lot and ask Dusty to join you and give you a cooler. I got a way we can fix America.
This is a pretty lofty tease.
Okay.
You better not. This is like when you go breaking news on me and it's actually not breaking news and I get all excited and then you give me nothing.
Yeah.
This better not be a nothing burger.
Okay. So this is not about sports. This is actually involving the country, right? Some people think the country's in great shape. Other people question it. What have you. That's always going to be a partisan issue. But I really think the solution is going to draw both sides in together. And that's giving Jose Canseco the chief of staff role for Donald Trump. If you missed this, Jose Canseco tweeted last night.
I'm glad you brought this up.
Hey, little buddy, at Real Donald Trump, you need a bash brother for chief of staff. Got a secret reorg plan already? Also worried about you looking more like a Twinkie every day. I will buff you up daily workouts. DM me. Hashtag yes we can Seiko.
Is that the best hashtag of all time?
Yes, I might start using it every time I talk baseball on Twitter.
Yes we can Seiko. Not going to lie to you, at this point, I'd think about voting for Jose Canseco to be chief of staff. Just to see. Give me an interview. Give me a press conference where he's got to answer some questions. I want to know what that guy's got kicking around in between his ears.
He also tweeted him before that. Hey, little buddy, at Real Donald Trump.
I love that he calls him little buddy.
I think he calls everybody.
That's to be fair. When you're roided out of your mind and you're that large, I think you can get away with the little buddy label.
So he says, hey, little buddy, I am interested in United Nations leadership. DM me for ideas and confidential 90-day. Plan hashtag ready now.
That was when Nikki Haley officially stepped down. He wanted that job, man. All right, he's just getting aggressive. His era has run out in baseball. Now he's looking to get into politics. Hashtag yes we can Seiko.
He tweeted on August 18th. He tweeted, knock, knock. And then he tweeted again, nobody.
I followed. Now, he had some funny tweets because he was actually working for, I think, NBC Bay Area, like on A's coverage this year. And everybody was like, wait, really? You're putting Jose Canseco on television? And he had a couple of just wild tweets this summer, and I decided to follow him. It was worth it. Jose Canseco's a decent little Twitter follow.
I'm just going through the Twitter account.
Dude, go scroll back, man. He had some ones about the A's this summer that were just hilarious.
Oh, my God. He dived into some black hole stuff.
He did, man. He did.
This is unbelievable.
Jose Canseco's a deep thinker, and I think we need to acknowledge that he's got a lot going on in that brain.
Do you think he's smoking and tweeting?
Yes. Yeah, there's drug use probably involved. I think using steroids for that long probably screws up your brain a little bit. Fun fact,
birthday pondering my immortality again.
Yeah, he's wild, dude. I'm telling you. Dive into those tweets. I actually read his book, fun fact.
Did you?
The Juiced book.
Was it good?
I mean, he didn't write it because it was too well written, but I mean, there was interesting detail. I mean, he just ratted everybody out in Major League Baseball. He turned snitch on everybody using steroids.
Yeah, I remember that was basically the result of it was, hey, let me tell you who did it, how we did it.
He's like, this is how I'm going to clear my name by throwing everybody else under the bus so you look at me as the good guy.
When you can handcuff lightning and throw thunder in jail, come talk to me. Why do you tweet that?
Deep thoughts with Jose Canseco.
Potatoes are pure venom for the human overtime. He's never milk a one day. Oh, my God. Okay, I'm not going to read the rest of that one.
I have a feeling I know where that one was going.
His daughter's a supermodel, though.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What?
Josie Canseco.
How about that? Learn something new every day.
Look her up. She's beautiful.
Really?
I think it's his daughter.
Josie Canseco.
I'm just kind of putting together that he probably dated a super hot woman.
I love the close name association, too. Like, he couldn't keep his name's Jose, so he named her Josie. He just tries to get as close to his own name as he possibly can for his daughter.
It's a little better than George doing what he did with all the Foreman kids.
That's true.
Didn't he have, what did George Foreman have? Like eight kids is the story, and he named them all George?
Are they all like George the Ninth?
I don't even know if we found out if that's accurate, but that story was always one of my favorites. That George Foreman had like 7 to 8 kids and named them all George.
No, well, they're okay.
What's the real story?
He's got, oh, dear Lord, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. He's got 12 kids.
Yeah.
One.
And good for him. He's got an empire.
One, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them have the name George. So there's George Foreman the third, George Foreman Jr., George Foreman the fourth, George Foreman the fifth, and George Foreman the sixth. There's also a daughter that is George Jetta. Georgetta?
Georgetta?
Georgetta Foreman.
Does he realize that by setting up the fourth, fifth, sixth, somebody's going to think the fourth is the dad of the fifth and the fifth is the dad of the sixth?
Because, yeah, all the sons have the name George. So the other ones are daughters, but he did go with Georgetta. But then there's Leola Foreman, Frida Foreman, Natalia Foreman, Mickey Foreman, Courtney Isaac Foreman, and Isabella Foreman.
Well, also, if you're going to go the George route four different ways, how do you feel as the kid who's not one of the numbers? You're just the junior. Do you feel slighted, or are you okay? Are you happy?
Well, junior, I'm assuming, was the first. Because then I'm assuming junior was the first.
You can't be the first because his dad's the first.
Well, no, I'm saying the first of the boys born. So, and then I think the third would come after junior, right? Is my math correct here?
No, you're correct. I'm Preston the fourth, by the way.
Oh, he's a
just
fourth.
Want to throw that in there.
Now, wait, you have a brother that's Preston the third.
And I have a little brother, and they did not name him Preston the fifth. His name is Joe.
Oh.
So they did not go the George Foreman.
You
kind of
had a tone like, yeah. And like, I have a little brother, and they named him Preston as well. Like,
I don't know how I feel about that. If I was the brother that got the no-name treatment. Well, I would want to carry the legacy.
I came first. Right. I know. It does feel kind of like you feel a little cool with it.
The legacy is on your shoulders. Don't screw this up.
When people check out my driver's license or something. Or, you know, in class, you're always like, what's one cool thing about you that no one knows? I'm the fourth.
Yeah, if my dad had gone that route with me and I would have been a second, a third, or a fourth, and my life was exactly what it is now, I would go and I would try to have a third kid. I feel like if you have the responsibility of carrying the number, you do have to have a boy in your life.
Yeah, once that line starts.
Right, because don't you keep it going? Yeah. Like, don't trust me, I've thought about this. Yeah, I'm capping it at 3 kids, I think, when that day comes. Because you're playing zone defense at that point.
Ooh.
I'm going, like, if the first two kids are girls, I'm going to be tight going into that third ultrasound.
That's a lot of pressure.
That is going to be a lot of pressure.
I've already said this. I'm not trying to have a third kid. If I ever do and the goalie slips up, I will not want to know till it's born.
You going to go that route?
I would rather go that route than find out at the ultrasound and walk out at the ultrasound, which is supposed to be a great moment for every parent. And they'd be like, what's wrong? And I'd be like, well, this freaking child is not what I wanted it to be. Whereas I think if it's born and I see the child, I'll feel different no matter what. Boy, girl, whatever.
Apparently on his website, he said he named all of his kids that so they would have something in common.
Well, you know, they share the same father. There's something.
That's
so.
What he said, yeah. He said they all have the name George, so they have something in common. And maybe I'm just an idiot. I didn't think you could do that. I always thought in order to be the next in the line, you had to be a child of the one that came before you.
Well,
like, I guess you could do anything you want with names, but
you can't, but I would counteract.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. If Preston has a son, it's going to be Preston the fifth. If he has a second son, he's not going to name the second son Preston the sixth.
Exactly.
If somebody's arguing this point on the text line, I would just say, I think you're in the right. Have you ever seen any other example in life where this applies?
Never seen this. It's always the legacy play.
Yeah.
You're the next in the next in the generation.
And it's always the firstborn, too.
Right.
Like, so you don't want to risk that. You know, if you have a boy, you don't name him Preston the fifth. And then
you're playing
with
fire.
You have three straight girls. You know, well, that's how it always works.
This is a big deal. Like, I think you're carrying around the same pride about it that, like, Joe Fisher, he, I believe, is a fourth as well.
Oh. I think he's the third.
I think he's the fourth.
Is he the fourth, too?
I think it's Joe Fisher the fourth. And I can't remember if he kept it going with his son.
We'll have to ask him, yeah.
But he's got it, like, tattooed on his arm.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
Yeah, it is. He carries a lot of pride with it.
Legacy play.
Absolutely.
So if one of these Georges has a kid, like, the kid has a kid, and then they just keep going on the line? Like, if George Foreman Jr. has a son, what would be the next? The seventh? Does he go George Foreman the seventh?
I think he gives the middle finger to the other brothers and goes third.
Third, yeah.
Screw you.
I'm the junior. He's the third.
Right.
You guys are making false claims to the throne here.
Absolutely.
Then if you go seventh, though, like, you're turning this into, like, a British dynasty.
And it just gets confusing.
Right? Like, how far can we go?
We're going to have a couple different Georges the fifths.
We're going to be dying with George Foreman the 19th in the boxing ring.
Anybody concerned now that we've pointed out the family situation of one George Foreman that this is going to be ugly when he passes?
And this is, yeah.
And it smell like this is going to get ugly? Ugly.
12 kids and 8 Georges. What do you expect?
Yeah, we're all fine taking equal amounts.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, George Jetta. You weren't around for 8 years.
This guy's sitting on a fortune with his grill. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. I don't know. So from Jose Canseco helping America to George Foreman naming all his kids George in some fashion. There you go. There's that segment. All right. We got a lot more we're going to get to here in the next half hour of the second. And then we have our NFL picks at the top of the third hour. We'll get to some more things next.
This is Dirt and Sprague, gone 1080, The Fan.
Hey, we got to make our NFL picks coming up top of the hour. Pro Football Challenge. Thursday Night Football should be a good one tonight. We'll get into that game as well. I do want to dive back into the Blazers a little bit coming up at crunch time. We have a poll question on that at Dirt and Sprague on Twitter. What's been the most disappointing part of the first 28 games of the season for you? So holster your answer, and we'll get to it in like 9 minutes.
The losses. I would say the losses.
Everything. It all sucks. A couple of quick notes, though. I did see this. Mike Barrett was doing a Q&A today, Portland Diamond Project. They do these every now and then with the folks involved.
Didn't see any real info from today's.
No, not really. I just wanted to reiterate one thing that people always bring up, and that's the money behind it. And somebody tweeted, knowing you can't reveal ownership yet, can you at least promise they have the money and will privately fund the stadium, franchise, media, territory rights, while limiting public cost, player payroll taxes, and infrastructure help. And Barrett responded, there's a lot of stuff in there, but yes, the money is there, and we hope people respect our reasons not being able to reveal everything at this time. So other than that, I mean, he just said we're working with the city on transportation, didn't really get into the AL or NL stuff, expansion, all that kind of. So not a whole lot of specific details, but just a good reminder that the money's there. Don't worry. They've been saying that all along.
People keep hearing that, though, and Dirt, I think you know this. The media, well, not a lot of some people in the media, people out there that live in the city and hear about this story, like they can keep saying this on Twitter and interviews all they want.
Right, right.
Those people will not believe them until they actually see it happen.
Nope, and they're not going to reveal it until they're ready. So it's one of those, we'll just have to wait for the official announcement. This was something I wanted to make sure to get to today, as we talk a lot about stadium food and pricing and beers and all that kind of stuff. Well, ESPN released a study of the stadiums across America, and the outside the lines did this, and they collected more than 16,000 food safety inspection reports and did a study on the healthiest and least healthy of the stadiums in the United States of America. And I'll let you know where the Moda Center falls in a second. The city of Charlotte's got some major issues.
Oh, yeah, they do.
So 107 stadiums total of the major four sports were studied. And Charlotte has two of the worst four. So the worst stadium to show up on this thing is the Spectrum Center. That's where the Hornets play.
Mm-hmm.
And they received a 92% high level of breaking inspection. Some of the notes on this. Inspectors saw beer leaking from the ceiling in the bar area to the front court restaurant and bar.
Yeah, you get free beer dropping down on you.
Just looking up, dripping on your head.
You just hold it there with your hand, talk to your buddies, and it refills itself.
We had inspectors saw multiple bartender stations with no options to place cocktail garnishes without touching them by hand. Managers took forks to all stations to use with the garnishes, but inspectors then saw a bartender picking up a lime with a bare hand and putting it into his glass. Four priority violations at the back court club in the same day. And another one, inspectors noted that throughout the arena, there had been a consistent failure to properly document when food should be cooked, served, or discarded because it was no longer safe to serve. The violation was noted using all capital letters. So the number one unhealthiest place to go in America, at least in terms of ballpark or stadium food, is the Spectrum Center where the Hornets play. Bank of America Stadium was fourth highest in Charlotte. You scroll down, and I don't know how we should feel about this, but you got to scroll for a while before you get to where the Moda Center is.
Mm-hmm.
The Moda Center comes in 38th place.
I mean, when you go in 100, that's not horrible.
38 of 107.
But read the reasons for it. I think it's a little nitpicky, and it doesn't leave me going, oh, I don't want to eat or drink at the Moda Center now.
Okay, here are your violations that they noted from the Moda Center. Food is too warm. Inspectors found food in cold drawers at 46 to 52 degrees when it should have been held at 41 degrees or less. That was one of the three higher level and four lower level violations at one location. Another one, fry cooks were wearing watches while working at a concession stand.
I don't care.
It's a violation of rules prohibiting jewelry except plain rings such as wedding rings.
I bling bling with the food, baby.
You know, Carol, there's a Rolex watch diving into your fries.
I'm sure there's a reason for the jewelry. We know that you touch the jewelry. It's probably disgusting, but I don't know. I've seen grosser things.
And there was a pan of raw fish fillets that was stored in a place for potential contamination.
Yeah, potential doesn't mean it contaminated. So
raw fish fillets. I mean, that does not sound appealing.
Well, here's the good news for me. I don't eat at any of the stalls at the Moda Center that serve fish.
That's true.
If I'm at a ball game, I'll go dog or nacho or maybe the
right.
Maybe the taco cart.
Killer Burger's also a big
killer
hit now.
Burger. Oh, yeah. Killer Burger.
Being
that's
at the
stuff.
Moda Center.
Yeah, peanut butter bacon pickle burger.
Yeah, so 38th. The 38th place isn't terrible. The healthiest ballpark or stadium out there, they're just the best at everything. Oracle Arena.
Yeah.
Oracle Arena was numero uno.
Yeah, because they're serving like $100 glasses of wine there now, too, I read.
Yeah.
Their tickets are probably so pricey. They have certain people, so the standards now have been raised.
Yeah, number two is State Farm Arena, which is, I believe it was where the Atlanta Hawks play. And then number three was NRG Stadium.
That's Houston, right?
Where the Texans play. So those are your top three. Rounding out the top five, the Bradley Center, which is in Milwaukee, so that must be the Bucks' new stadium.
That's the brand new place.
And then Gillette Stadium was number five.
Okay.
So, you know, at 38th place, yeah, not bad.
Not great.
Were you expecting better or worse than that
number? For us being Portland, I was expecting us to be top five. I really was.
Top five?
Yeah. You know, the other surprise there for me, too, was AT&T Park in San Francisco because they, like, have their own vegetable garden in that darn stadium.
They're vegans.
They were only one spot ahead of us at 37th place. So 37th and 38th, respectively.
Of the top 10, which would you strike as the most surprising? Like, really? That place is top 10 most efficient and going by standards?
Houston, probably. NRG Stadium. I would never have pegged Houston and being like a food safe area.
You kind of just assume Houston and Texas is they put their heads under a nacho cheese machine and hit a button and let the nacho cheese drop in their mouth, don't you?
You do. The Gila River Arena, which is where the Coyotes play in Glendale. I've been to that arena. That arena is not great.
Yeah.
So that one's...
Well, it's easy to be good when nobody's there to serve.
That's true. It's a little bit easier to stay safe.
Where's all your cooked food? Well, we don't cook food till people order it. We only have 10 people at this game tonight, so
nobody here. Let's see, where's the Prudential Center? That's in Newark, New Jersey. Oh, Newark, that sounds like a dirty place. I'm surprised. I'm surprised the Prudential Center is safe for eating.
The Newark airport is like falling apart. I was there a couple months ago.
No bueno.
Man, is not good.
Bueno. So there you go. The Moda Center ranks 38th in terms of food safety arenas.
Like, this was kind of, it's kind of a cool thing to do, I guess. But I'm with this listener. I read this report, and honestly, even the worst violation didn't really faze me. There's a lot of things on these lists that I just... Okay, that's it.
I'm this way, and maybe this is part of my stomach issues.
I worked in a kitchen, by the way, so I've seen some gross things.
I'm this way at a lot of places, though. Like, if I see somebody mishandling my... Well, mishandling shouldn't be the right word, but doing something that's not specifically up to protocol, I don't protest or send it back. Like, I have loose rules when it comes to eating.
I got something sent back that I served one time.
Really?
Yeah. Because I was like 16 and I like talked into a paper plate and I didn't serve the burger on that. But right away, some guy from like 20 feet away was like, hey, man, you got to throw that plate away right now. Wow. I saw you like whispering to your friend behind that paper plate.
So let me ask
throw
you.
It away.
So if you're at a place and you see somebody making your food, like this happens in food trucks sometimes because they're right in front of you making your food. Mm-hmm. Let's say they handle the money and then make the food. Do you send it back? Do you say, no, I want a new one? Or do you eat it?
I watch. Well, are they grabbing the money and then not washing their hands?
Not
or putting
washing
gloves
the
on?
Hands, but going right into the food.
Thankfully, I've never seen that happen. But yeah, I'd probably say something.
You would say, "I want a new this or that."
Yes.
The only time I've ever gone to a food cart, they have like a cashier and a worker.
Okay.
So, there's a cook and then there's a cashier.
There's a buffer wall so you can't see what they're doing.
It's not just been one guy with no gloves on grabbing cash.
You go to a restaurant, you never will say anything.
No, I actually went out to dinner last night and they didn't get my order right and I just didn't eat it. I wanted fries instead of tater tots. They gave me tater tots. I just didn't eat them.
Oh, but that's come on.
Sure, that's different. That's not a health violation.
I'd probably be more happy. Like, you know what? I actually wanted tots. Thank you.
Change it up a little bit.
But if I went to, you go to like a steak dinner and there's a big giant hair laying on your steak, you're not saying anything. You're just going to go pay $75.
Well, that's different if you're putting a price next to it. Then, yeah. But you don't usually get that at a $75 a steak joint.
Yeah.
They're usually pretty. I've never had that happen. So, yes, in that instance, I would.
I'm not very, like, complain guy at all because, again, I worked in a kitchen. I get it. But you do. It's nice to have that person that is willing to be a big D to people.
Yeah, I never want to mess with the people that handle my food. And I always fear of complaining about something or sending it back, you're going to get a waiting scene.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that bastard sent this plate back. Let's rub some dandruff in his steak.
There's a reason that movie is so funny. It's because a lot of people that they can identify with that as being truth.
Funny because it's true. We'll get to our pro football picks coming up top of the hour. What's been the biggest disappointment 28 games in for you for the Portland Trailblazers? 55305 is the better you today. Text line. We've got a poll question on that. Crunch time next on The Fan.
The pressure's on.
We have an opportunity to reestablish ourselves, get a big win. Not all is lost.
Who's feeling the heat?
Now we got to go home and make sure that, you know, we take care of business there. Shame on us if we don't.
It's crunch time. A look at the hottest topic in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments.
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments. Anybody make it today?
I could not. I got to work out later. No, yeah.
Sorry. All
right, I had a rec basketball game last night, which I'll just count as my lift for today.
Sure. Yeah, yeah,
or, you know,
are you good at basketball?
Today.
Or do you suck?
Dude, I dropped 21.
Ooh.
I mean, I was.
Let me go ahead and pick up that number you just dropped.
We did lose by about 25.
So you had a CJ McCollum performance, huh?
So the other team had a guy who put up 50 on us. He was amazing.
Yeah. Wait, you guys didn't double team a guy that was?
Oh, we did everything. He was unbelievable. He played at Oregon apparently like 10 years ago.
Oh, what's his
name?
I
don't know the guy. Yeah. Two of their guys played at Oregon under Ernie Kent. So
what are their names?
I don't know. They were like reserve guys. They weren't like guys any of us would know.
Is that what Jovan Catron's up to nowadays? Just dominating the rec leagues of Portland?
Is Catron teaming up with Marty Loonen?
Is that what Marty Loonen's
rec league basketball?
Yeah, one of them have big earlobes with Twan Porter out there just dropping shots from all over the floor?
If one was about your height, Preston, his name was Twan Porter.
His shorts go down to his ankles, look like they were sweatpants.
It was not Twan. I would have gotten a selfie with him.
Twan Porter now would not wear shorts to his ankles. He'd wear shorts close to his unit.
Oh, he'd go the short route?
I think he would just go with what's popular for the athletes now.
All right, that's fair. Pro Football Challenge coming up top of the hour. I do want to get back into the Blazers briefly because I looked up some numbers on this and I didn't have a chance to share them earlier. So we got a poll question on the Blazers. They lost again last night. They're 5-10 in their last 15 games now. And they are only two games above 500. We asked, what's been the biggest disappointment 28 games in? 74% of you took the cop-out answer on here, so I gave you the option.
Why do you do cop-out answers?
Because I want to see if people take the easy road or the hard road, and they took the easy road. So I asked CJ McCollum not improving, Collins not developing, or Nurkic being inconsistent. He was, what, 1 of 15 last night?
Yeah, not that.
That's not good. And then I gave the team as a whole. 74% of people took the team as a whole, which is the easy answer.
You have this thing when you do polls. You always have to have four. You won't just with three.
You got four options. You got to use them all.
This is an easy answer, by the way.
Which one do you go with?
It has to be Zach Collins.
Yeah.
CJ McCollum, you can be mad because he makes $100 million. I get it. I do. But I'm not surprised this is still CJ McCollum. I told you guys 2+ years ago, he is Jamal Crawford 2.0. He is a scorer who does nothing else. It's good when you have the right team around it. Maybe he's like a bench guy in the future, could be a sixth man and go and get you 20 to 25 points. But that's all he's doing for you. He doesn't play defense. He gives you no assists. He doesn't rebound. To me, though, it has to be Zach Collins, and I'll tell you why. CJ is still going out, and he's giving you what he does points-wise. I never expected him to go be Damian Lillard 2.0. I didn't expect him to develop certain things in his game. He's not the same player. Zach Collins is sold to us as a franchise building block, and it is year two, and I'm not going to get over my skis on when he's great versus when he's bad.
Sure.
I'll tell you when he's good, and if he's bad, I'll tell you when he's bad, and he has been horrid since what, a month ago? It's Zach Collins for me. You got to show growth, and this month is big for their team because of where they could be win-loss wise. I think the next 2 to 3 are going to be big for him, because if he continues to struggle this season, where's he going to be at mentally?
Right.
And it's not to say that he can't ever turn a career around. That's crazy talk. But right now for this season, I'm going to avoid the cop-out answer. Nurkic, I don't think Nurkic has actually been that inconsistent. Last night was not a good night. I've been impressed with what I've seen from him. I think this is kind of who he is averages-wise.
Well, his numbers are flat. I mean, he's averaging the same, slightly more rebounds, slightly more assists, 14 points a game, flat numbers, essentially.
But to me, it's Zach Collins, because I wanted to see more growth this year, and we got teased with it, and now it's just back to what he was as a rookie.
Well, and that's where I agree with you on that, and that's where I answered the question, because I have felt a certain way about CJ McCollum the last 3 or 4 years. We know who he is. I think he's and it's always, sometimes people perceive it as a negative when you say that, like he's a good little player, but he's going to average 20 points a game. He can score in volume. He can be a huge help to a team, but not when he's a second of an undersized backcourt that sometimes the ball stops when it hits his hands. And when he's not making his shots, he doesn't do much to affect the team win or loss wise. So
he does nothing. Right. If he can't hit his shots, he does nothing for you.
Serves you no purpose, right? So, and there's a lot of players like that. It's not a negative. That's just kind of who he is, I think, in his career. He's had enough time to show, can you take that next step? And clearly he has it, and he's overpaid. So I think Zach Collins, because coming into the year, that was the one thing that I continued to circle as a potential positive. Like, I felt like I knew who everybody else was on this roster. Nurk's numbers, you mentioned, 14 points, 10 boards. That's what he's going to probably average his whole career. CJ, Dame's having another phenomenal first-team All-NBA caliber season. Like, you know what you got in most people. Collins was the one wild card because of the youth. And you didn't re-sign Ed Davis, I think, in part, one, to save a little money, but two,
to pave a way for Zach Collins to play more. And you just look at his numbers this year. I mean, going from what he averaged last year to this year, he's averaging 7 points and 4 rebounds a game with an increase in minutes and some extra numbers behind that. And this kind of coincides with their bench falling off. First 12 games of the season this year for Collins, he had double figures in 7 games. 7 of the first 12 games, he scored in double figures. Since then, they played 16 games since. He's only done it once. That one game was in garbage time against the Phoenix Suns when they won a couple of nights ago by a wide margin with no Devin Booker. That was the only one in the last 16 games. And then you take it further than that, and I was just curious to look up because I don't follow a lot of these teams very closely, just like the top 9 picks of the draft this past year and how some of the lottery picks are affecting teams like Zach Collins as a lottery pick right away. Ayton's averaging 15 and 10 in Phoenix. Bagley's averaging 13 and 6 in Sacramento. Doncic is taking the league by storm. He's averaging 18, 6 and 5.
He's the rookie of the year right now.
Jaren Jackson's averaging 13 points and 5 rebounds, better numbers than Collins. Trae Young's averaging 15.7 assists in Atlanta, showing you some flashes. Bamba hasn't done much. Wendell Carter's averaging 10.7 boards, better numbers than Zach Collins. And Sexton, granted it's with Cleveland, is doing it in a vacuum, but he's averaging 15 points a game. So, I mean, you've seen flashes already from a lot of these guys who are lottery picks. And you just haven't seen him take that next step. So I'm with you. I'm not punting on his career, but this is kind of the point I always bring up in trade talks in the offseason. We're so guarded as a fan base over prospects of what a guy could turn into.
Well, Jermaine O'Neal killed it for us.
Right, he's one guy, but you can't let one guy haunt you forever. And every time Collins' name came up, it was like, no, we can't get rid of him. I don't want to risk it. Would you give him up in a deal for Kawhi Leonard? No. He could turn into something. That's a big risk holding onto a prospect because you're counting on him panning out, and so far it hasn't happened yet.
It's not even... for me, Dirt, it's not just about the points either. It's about the impact defensively, rebounds. He doesn't really give you double-digit rebounds. And defensively, he's shown that he's more than capable of being a good defender.
Sure, he has.
But in this stretch of struggles, he's committing dumb fouls, and he's not putting himself in good positions. I don't know what it is. I know a lot of people have, I don't even know if it's a joke, but they've cited, you know, this is kind of dating back to when he turned 21. I'm not telling you he's partying every day, but I just think that the struggles with him, you kind of put those on the coaching staff, and then you kind of just, he adds more pressure, Neil Olshey does when he talks.
Right.
Right. He did it with the Al Farouk Aminu playing the four, projects us to be a 54-win team. He did this with Zach Collins because, again, he's an egomaniac who feels like he has to defend every damn thing that he does. And he has to come out and state, Zach Collins is a franchise building block.
Right, and you're averaging 7 points in year 2.
Well, is that because you traded up, right? Didn't they trade to
they
get
traded
the 10
all
pick?
Three first-round picks. Remember, they had 3 first-round picks. They traded all 3.
Well, I thought Biggie was a late
That's true. They
first.
Traded 2. They packaged they the 2 picks. That's right. And kept the 28th one or whatever
so
it was.
So the 3 they had, they traded 2. They moved up to 10, and they took Zach Collins to validate that move of drafting him and shocking people. He had to proclaim something, and something huge, like he's the franchise type guy. Yeah. Well, okay, when you say that, I hope you know now the microscope, it's on him every single game, and right now it's not looking good for him.
So how you feeling about that one? 28 games in, what's your biggest disappointment? You can go vote on that poll question at Dirt and Sprague. Better you today. Text line is 55305. Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments. Coming up in the final hour, we will update you on the poll questions that we have. Thursday Night Football should be a good one tonight. We'll dive into it. Chiefs and Chargers from Kansas City. But we'll start with our Pro Football Challenge, as we do every Thursday. Who's winning and losing in the National Football League? Next on The Fan.